Does it feel weird for you? It feels weird for me being here at 10 o'clock and singing. But let's sing. Let's sing. We'll start with the celebration song. In the presence of your people, I will praise your name. It's basically, that's the whole song. So we're going to sing it twice. Think about the words. I love verse, I love line 5. Let us celebrate your goodness and your steadfast love. Well, no, what do I say this? Well, all of it's fantastic. Let's go. Probably 9:20 or something or other, because Ken and Jenny were doing backwards and forwards, not down the front, they were up the back, they were discreet, but they were doing this amazing little groovy dance to Jesus Put This Song Into Our Hearts. So, come early. No, Leon. Let's hear from Leon first.
Good morning. Guess what the time's going to be in the next month? Ever heard of Christmas? We've got our Christmas hampers coming up, and in the foyer we have a little form which is a shopping list that looks a bit like that. And we're having the collection of food on the 3rd and the 10th of December. Now, usually we get a helping hand from Foodland, but this year it's not happening because of their alterations. So we're having to modify our giving this year. We've had to be a little more accountable. Not accountable, but the words are frugal. That's a good word. So if you could, take one of these and give what you can. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Leon. Okay, later start today, congregational meeting with the election for elders and church councillors after the service, and after that a shared lunch, so just a little bit differently. But back to 9:30 next week, which is in fact, as Leon was just saying, beginning of Advent. Also next week, next Saturday, the Sunday market. Saturday market. Come on. See, my head is looking at here and thinking, it's 10 past 10, for goodness sake. Saturday market, next Saturday, the 2nd, 10 o'clock start. Helpers, still needed for that. Book donations, white elephant donations, if you've got a white elephant, sweets, cakes, all those things are needed. Think how you can help, as you have read, if you were here before, and you were. There's lots and lots of things, lots and lots of places where we can help. Our children's service will be on the 17th of December, normal time, 9:30. Then the following Sunday, the 24th, it's a 9:30 a.m. service, and also a 7 p.m. Christmas Eve service with a sausage sizzle. And on the next day, that's Christmas Day, 9 a.m. Keeps on saying in the newsletter, in the grapevine, it's question mark, so it's 9 a.m. So it's all go. So let's get going. Shall we have a song now, Trevor, or shall we do our thank yous first? What do you reckon? Let's stand and thank.
Yes, thank.
Okay, you can do the thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. You like the way I do it?
Now, I don't know a lot about you lot yet. I'm getting to know more, and I want to get to know more right now. Okay, one of the things that I know in every church I have ever been in is that if it wasn't for the volunteering work that people did, it just wouldn't happen, yeah? I'm presuming this church is like other churches. In fact, I know it is. People have told me, so I have inside knowledge. You know, but the joke is that normally if you say, well, how many people are volunteering, and it is, well, everybody is, because old Mrs. So-and-so, who's stuck in a chair and can't do anything else, we know she prays regularly. So the reality is that most of this stuff, everybody nearly volunteers. But just to prove a point, okay? How many of you here volunteer in the life of this church in some way? Hang on. Can I see somebody without their hand up? I can see. Oh, yeah, no, I was going to say, there was somebody who had their hand down, and I know they volunteered. And I don't know much, and I knew that. Can I say, first of all, simply, thank you. Okay? Just thank you. I know that God will honour that. If you remember in one of Jesus' parables, it's the man who comes to the wedding feast and he's not sure where he should go. He sits himself at the bottom of the table. And Jesus said, friend, come up higher. Do you recall? No, you don't recall that story. I'm not allowed to say that. I got in trouble for asking that question about something last week. But all of you, I know that you have blessed this church by your volunteering, but also I pray that your volunteering will have been a blessing for you. And I'll tell you more about why I think that in my sermon a bit later, because the theme of that sermon is the joy of discipleship, and today it's the joy of discipleship through service. Just so you know, our theme for Advent is chaos. You know, hopefully we'll sort out the chaos enough to let you know a bit more as the weeks go on. But can I say, I remember in primary school, how many of you remember primary school? you know, fess up. I remember the good and the bad of primary school, but I remember we had one teacher who, whenever we did something good, made us pat ourselves on the back. Did you have to pat yourself on the back at primary school? Who here had to pat themselves on the back at primary school? I'm patting myself on the back. I haven't got a hand to use. Okay, it's a silly thing that we used to do at primary school. But can I ask you now to pat yourselves on the back for your volunteering? They're yours again, Rob.
It's actually quite fantastic. When our daughters were in the Adelaide Girls Choir, they would pat themselves on the back. They would stand in a circle and each pat each other on the back.
Oh, yeah.
Because that person would pat the next person, that person would pat the next person, that person, etc. That's what a circle does. And then that would go to a neck stretch and a little bit of something else. And their patting on the back at the end of a concert or at the beginning of a concert would tend to do a full-blown... Fantastic. We're going to sing I Go to the Rock. A rock, the word rock, doesn't always mean Beatles or something like that. The word, I could be bolder in my comments. Somebody got it! Yes!
I did too, but I didn't laugh.
Well, that's how you can help this church, by helping and laughing when the person says something that's a bit weak. I go to the rock of my salvation. When all around is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand.
Do you know,
let's stand.
Do you know the actions?
Do you know any actions? Don't know actions? Ken, Jenny, no actions?
I have a vague memory of some, Rob, but that's
Camp
all
out.
It is.
Ian, do you know them? He's not going to say he knows them, that's okay. Just if you know the actions, do them quietly and surreptitiously in your standing in your spot. Let's stand and go. If we go to the third time through, this will be just mind-boggling. People will be going, this is crazy. You're a crazy bunch of people. I love being here. Let's go. Ready? I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I go to the mountain. Just remember that. Oh, Chris, I'm sorry. You've got to try and follow that stupidity. I'm sorry. Can we have that at the Bible reading now? That would be lovely. It wasn't stupidity. That was amazing joy. When I need a friend. Ken says to Jenny. Sorry.
Okay, this morning's reading is from John chapter 13, verses 11 to 16. Jesus knew who would betray him. That is why he said, "Except for one of you." After Jesus had washed the disciples' feet and had put his outer garment back on, he sat down again. Then he said, Do you understand what I have done? You call me your teacher and Lord, and you should, because that is who I am. And if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you should do the same for each other. I have set the example, and you should do for each other exactly what I have done for you. I tell you for certain that servants are not greater than their master, and messengers are not greater than the one who sent them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Mark.
Good morning. Some of you have been wondering about DJP's progress. I managed to contact Isaac through the week, and this is what he says. Dad is steadily improving.
Yeehaw.
Looking forwards to coming home before Christmas. He is able to walk short distances with a Zimmer frame, feeding himself. I think last time I reported that his hands were not working very well, so he's now able to feed himself, getting around on a wheelchair, and I can just imagine that actually, David in a wheelchair hooning around the corridors. It has been great to see. So if he keeps improving, he will hopefully be home in a couple of weeks. What a wonderful praise point. And I was thrilled to get that response, and I know you are too. So we'll see how he goes from there. But now, as we share in prayer, let us remember that to do so is to deliberately open our hearts to the touch of God. In this time and place, we seek to lift up to God our broken world. Not because God does not know what is happening, but because we, as his disciples, wish to find ways in which we can make our part of the world just a little better. As we pray for others, God might just put a challenge upon our hearts to actually do more than pray. God often calls us to be the answer to our prayers. So let us set everything else aside this morning as we come to God in prayer with a listening ear and an open heart and a desire to be an agent for change. Let us pray. Holy One, we long to be faithful stewards of your love, to know, love, and serve each other with humility, wisdom, and grace. But Lord God, at times the world around us and far from us is so full of despair that we can't imagine how we can make it any better. We need you, Lord, to calm our disquieted souls and to empower us as we face the hurting world around us. There are so many people in our community who live with despair as they try to make ends meet and to look after their families well. But so much is against them. Thank you for individuals and organisations who seek to ease their burdens, offering practical help of all kinds. Lord, we read of multi-million dollars payouts, and we see people wrapped in a sleeping bag on the cold pavement under an awning. Where, oh where, Lord, is equity and fairness? We read of children committing horrible crimes with no consideration for another's property. They are so lost, Lord. They should be enjoying their childhood, not destroying it. People become afraid and don't know what to do. We pray for wisdom as authorities deal with these very complicated situations. O Holy One, we have seen such heartache sweep across our community this week. A young police officer whose call it was to keep people safe, cruelly killed in the line of duty. Two others forever marred by that experience, and many others forever changed. Lord, we pray that you might heal and protect these brave men and women as they come to terms with the tragedy and continue to serve the community. Road accident victims, young and not so young, families bereft and struggling to make sense of it all, domestic violence victims, O Lord, the darkness, pain and struggles continue. We pray that authorities can bring change, but so much is about the state of a person's heart. Nothing will change until people choose a better way, a kinder way, a more tolerant way. Lord, touch those hearts, we pray. Help the broken to be mended and to discover that life, what life can really be like. And we pray for all those caring people whose life call it is to help others find their way. Caring God, we lift up to you those in our community who often through no fault of their own struggle with life. Homelessness, illness, loneliness, loss of dignity, grief and continual pain. We pray that you will help us to love with your kind of love, that in some way we might make a difference to their lives where they touch ours. We pray for political leaders everywhere, Lord God. We elect people to positions of power and trust. They will have the good of the people at heart. But so often self-interest, greed and arrogance take them over and ends up in dissension and conflict. Lord, we pray they might understand that leadership is a privilege and make good decisions which can bring positive change for the people who have trusted them. Please grant them wisdom and courage to stand up for what is right and life-giving for those whom they serve. But now, Holy One, with deep sadness we lift to you the dreadful war in Palestine. Lord, I don't know how to pray for this awful situation. So many people killed, so many little children, so many innocent victims. The list is so long. We can but ask that you will somehow empower the leaders to bring this to an end. It is devastation and heartache beyond our imagination, so we must leave it with you as we continue to pray for peace for those so hugely affected. Gentle God, there are those whom we know personally who have their own deep struggles, and we pause as we name them before you silently. Holy One, there are so many issues on our minds, so many things beyond our ability to change. But we truly believe that you hold the whole world in your hand. Every person is precious in your sight. So we trust that in your time, all things will be made whole. Healing God, our prayers continue for our minister David. We thank you and rejoice in his progress to this time, and we would pray that he might be well enough to go home for Christmas. And as we meet today for our congregational meeting, we pray that we might have some positive outcomes which will help us as a church to move strongly forward, reaching out to our community in your name for the next 12 months and beyond. Dear Lord and Father of us all, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful minds. In purer lives your service find. In deeper reverence, praise. Let us share now the disciples' prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Then stand and sing a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Gone on our life's journey with us and shared with us in the highs and the lows. You've been there, a good friend. We thank you that you've equipped us in all of that and given us gifts and skills that we may serve you. And so in response, we say thank you and we give. Amen. I keep getting feedback that I don't like it when I walk. So I will not stop walking forever, but I will more often come and sit up here. I won't stand behind a lectern because that's between us. It's a barrier and I don't like that. I believe that the God of the Word of God is active and the Spirit of God is active. And it's my role as a preacher to help God begin a conversation with your heart. And that once that conversation has begun, I should get out of the way. Okay, so that God and you can have that conversation together. Because that is when the Spirit is at work in worship. And that's what I long for. For you to have those sort of conversations with God. So if you're having a moment where God seems to be taking you off in another direction, you have my permission to listen and to respond. I have to say that many years ago, when I was a minister at St. Luke's at Peterhead, I had one woman who was notorious because she always went to sleep in a sermon. And whilst I never got her all the way through, I got her from apparently 17 seconds was the worst. I think they just liked the number. But it was short, but I did, on average, get her out to 4 or 5 minutes. So I was always pretty pleased with that. I saw that as success. But I'm not talking about falling asleep that way. I'm talking about you moving off into a conversation with God. Now, serving others is something we hear about all the time in the scriptures. I don't know what I did wrong with the Bible reading. I started at a couple of verses too late. So whether I just made a typo in what I sent off to Rob, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, I mean, as I said to somebody, I haven't even brought up my tablet to have the Bible reading there, because I think you kind of know what happens with Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Yeah? No? Yeah, look, I'm getting nods. A few of you are doing that in case I directly ask them. But Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And he asks them a question and says he set them an example. But I don't believe that's all that Jesus was doing. Because if we look at Jesus' actions through the gospel, he was serving people all the while. If you look at him, and Luke particularly loves the stories of Jesus' healing and of the way he served people, of his wisdom in that, you know, and also by the fact that it led him to the point of exhaustion. Because Matthew talks about him withdrawing to pray because he was just so exhausted. And about the disciples being worried. You know, there's a great story of the disciples being all worried about the pressure on Jesus, and so they try to get them to stop bringing the little children to him. Do you remember? I hope some of you remember that part of the thing that's behind that is the disciples were worried about the crowds pressing around Jesus, and so they thought the children were an easy mark to move on. Obviously, they didn't understand parents very well, but nonetheless, you know, Jesus, I believe, didn't just wash his disciples' feet as an example. He did it because it was an intrinsic part of who he was as the Son of God. It was an expression of his inner reality, of his true character. And that he knew that he needed to serve in order to be the best version of himself. And for all of you, I would ask you to look at Jesus' life. It's congruent, isn't it? Can you imagine Jesus not serving? Think about how different it would be if Jesus hadn't served. Him wandering through all the towns, nah, not going to heal you. How do you reckon that would work? Is that the Jesus you know? It ain't the Jesus I know. And all of the times that he reached out to those that others wouldn't reach out to, that's an expression of his service. He reached out to those in need. That was an expression of who he is, who he was. And can we imagine him not doing that? I can't. And it's only when we reach out to those who are different that we get to see some of the most wonderful things. You know, Zacchaeus, I will pay back fourfold. Now we know that's really nice. But in the legal system of the time, the standard fines for wronging someone were double what the wrong was. Gee, it'd be good if we did that with large corporations now, wouldn't it? I kind of like that principle. But Zacchaeus, out of his generosity for how Jesus had reached out to him, offered to pay back fourfold, twice as much as he would have been required to do by Jewish law. And so there is a joyful response to Jesus reaching out. I think that we are at our very best when we are serving. Now, I'm thick. I am slow to respond to God's nudgings. I've told you that already. And, you know, I am. Often I look back and go, God's been nudging me on this for weeks and I haven't got it. Sometimes for months, often enough for years. You know, but I don't always get it straight away. Now, I know that most of you understand things the first time that God nudges you, but me, I'm a bit slow. But I have come to realise that the very best version of myself is when I reach out to others. And the most powerfully satisfying version is when I reach out to others. When I was a minister in another place, they had a really large playgroup. Really large. Like, you know, they'd have about 45 kids there. And in my book, that's a really large playgroup. By the time you got all the mums there, there were, you know, 120, 130 people there often. You know. And we were on a main road near a large health, campus, I suppose, that'll do. And one morning, they all came over saying, there's this weird man here. You know, what should we do? Well, it wasn't me. But I went over there. It was a guy, excuse me, I am still getting over my lurgy. It catches me every so often. But this weird man, well, he was a bit weird. He had pretty poor social skills. But I got over there, and they were all panicking and frightened. They weren't going to be in any trouble from him. I had found this man. I'd been dealing with him for a couple of years by then, and he wasn't easy, but he didn't have an easy life. He was a hermaphrodite, or intersexed, if you would rather. And unfortunately, being where he'd grown up, and at the time, he had been sexually assaulted by members of the family. Which, if you know your Adelaide history, you know, was a pretty notorious group of paedophiles. And because of that, he was in great personal turmoil. But, you know, as I sat down with him and we talked about the gospel and talked about Jesus' love over a couple of years, I came to get much more from him than you might imagine. The way he longed for the hope of God changing him. Remember, he's intersexed. Can you imagine the turmoil of that? And yet, he longed for God to change him. So this man, who is in fact, poor social skills, a lot of deep hurts, and was really, quite confronting to look at. He was poorly groomed, he smelled, all of those sorts of things. And by serving him, I became richer. And he taught me. For when we open ourselves to those in need, we begin a journey that changes us, in which they have the opportunity to change, and our society can be changed. And our society needs it. Australia is more unfair than it has ever been. The poor are completely disregarded. You only have to look at the way that the NDIS scheme is just not working at the moment. It was a great idea, but the implementation of it has not matched. And that's very deeply saddening. And I'm not suggesting that by serving others, we are doing it to change that level of injustice. We are seeking to serve others that we might express Christ's love, and that through expressing Christ's love, we might be transformed. I was interested to read an article about Becky Cole, who's singing at Carols by Candlelight, I think. But Becky Cole, who's a songwriter, if you recall, is not a Christian. But she actually talked about the fact that in her life, she has found that gratitude with optimism is the way to live. And so she has a daily routine where she gives thanks for all the good things in her life. She didn't actually talk about what her optimism was based on. I was kind of interested. But as followers of Christ who serve, we are open to gratitude and optimism or hope in a vastly different way. And it is enabled by service. This is where we're different from many other philosophies and many of the other self-help schools that are around us at the moment. They all say you've got to get your thinking right, you've got to look inward and sort yourself out. Well, can I say quite clearly, they are wrong. Okay? For it is only when we look outwards with the love of Christ that we become open to the transformational change that comes through Jesus. The reason that we serve that opens us up to God's transformation in ways that thinking and praying alone do not. To remember about the only bit of Latin I can from my year 8 Latin, labore est orare, to work is to pray. I didn't get that for many years. But it's as we work, as we serve, as we give to others, that we become open to the presence of the Spirit of God in powerful ways that enable us to be transformed by our loving God. So, if we are to do that, if we serve, we become open. If we become open, the transforming love of God is at work in us. That's pretty powerful, really, isn't it? For myself, I have to tell you, I know that I never have black days. Liar, liar. Okay? Of course I have black days. I'm a human being. I have low days. But I found that when I got into a black mood, and I think I've told you this already, but I'll reiterate it because it's important. God, I used to get a phone call for a funeral. One of the gifts and skill area that God has blessed me with is an ability to work with people who are beyond the margins of the church and to talk with them about the love of God. Okay, it's a gift, not something that I can claim any great personal accomplishment from. It's a gift that God has given me. And I know on days when I was low, I would nearly always get a call about a funeral from somebody who I'd never heard of before. It took me years to work out what God was doing. And then for some reason it stopped happening. God had sorted it out. He'd directed me and pointed me to a really important fact that for me to use my gifts to serve others was the way to peace and joy and happiness. So why do I think that service is joy? Because I believe it enables that process to happen. That as we serve God, we become open to the power of the Spirit working in us in different ways. And that's why it's a joy. I'm not saying it's not hard work. If I knew the number of chairs and tables and stuff that I've shifted around in my years as a minister, I'd known the numbers of walls that I've painted, and that's not an offer. Okay, a lot of it been a slog. But out of that slog has come the joy of knowing God's Spirit at work in me. I encourage you to continue in your service. I don't have to ask you to start it. I encourage you to continue in your service for as long as you are physically able. For through it, God will bless you. Amen.
So the chorus goes, "This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king." Let's sing this song.
Enter the world, your glory.
know, sometimes I think we work on all of the completely wrong premises. You know, we kind of go from here going, oh, I hope God's interested enough to do something in my life this week. Wrong. You know, God is so hanging out to be with you this week. As you go from here, go know him. God wants to be involved with your life, and he will be as much as possible. So go knowing that God is at work in you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hang around for the meeting.
This is our God.